Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. It begins a run of interviews that I have planned for this podcast where I want to talk to real life small business owners who are actually at the coalface, selling their products, selling their services, using their website at the heart of their marketing. And this particular interview is with one of my friends who is part of my Supercharger website membership. And I've known Emma since last year, since 2019, where she was one of the early adopters into my membership. And she owns a metal stamping gift business called Stamped with Love. And we recorded this interview about 6-7 months ago, just to give you some context. And Emma has been running her business a few years. And I think she has a really interesting take on that transition that many product owning businesses in particular have in starting up a business based on something they really love doing. Using third-party websites and platforms like Etsy and Folksy and eBay and Amazon to sell their products, and why it's so important to have your own website, have your own little bit of land on the internet to sell your products. I really enjoyed this interview. So much has changed for Emma since we did this. Her business has just gone from strength to strength, but have a listen, and I'll see you at the end just to say goodbye and enjoy. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Hello everyone, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and I'm very excited this week to be able to bring you one of the first in a series where I talk to real life, actual human business owners who run, small business owners who run their own small business in their little corner of the internet, who are happy to talk to me about where and how and why they got started. And what I'm hoping is that this series will provide inspiration for any of you listening who are thinking about setting up your own business, your own side hustle, or kind of give you some reassurance that problems or kind of situations that you're going through are being experienced by everybody else as well. So I'd like to introduce you to Emma Haney. Emma, I'm going to hand straight over to you. And can you tell us a little bit about you, your business, and what has led you to this point today? What is your origin story? Where have you come from?
Right. Well, I came across metal stamping about 5 years ago. It was something that I'd seen on Not on the High Street, and I thought, God, that's quite interesting. And I actually ordered something, and it arrived, and I was like, oh, this is quite cool. And I have an absolutely non-creative background. There is not a creative bone in my body. I can't draw or anything like that. But I really wanted to do something, and I was in a sales job that was really high pressured, and you know, I was working really, really hard. I just had a baby, you know, and I just wanted something as an outlet. So I started creating these pieces, bought all the equipment, and, you know, as you do, posted a couple of pictures on Facebook, and some friends went, oh, I really like that. It's really cool. Can you make me one? So made a few. And then I thought, do you know what, actually, I wonder if I can do this as a business. You know, so it was really, really basic. So I set up a Facebook page, you know, put some pictures on, and I walked into the scary world of Facebook businesses. I knew nothing. I didn't know what I was doing. And I literally, you know, just kind of stuck my head in the door and went, hi, I'm here. Would you like to buy my stuff? And I had some stampers absolutely come down on me and attack my page and attack me. So it was really quite scary. And I almost said, no, this isn't for me, and walked away. But I didn't. And I, you know, I'm not like that. I want to stick at something. So I just carried on, and I just did my little thing in my little corner of the internet. And I just, you know, kept selling and kept inviting people, and, you know, and I'm where I am today. So
your business name is
Stamped with Love.
Stamped with Love. And what do you sell? Tell us about what you sell.
So I do like metal stamped keyrings. So there, or and jewelry and other bits and bobs. So basically you have like a piece of metal. So I use aluminium because it's quite lightweight, but shiny. And you use individual font letters in a set to stamp out words or phrases or names and things like that. So they're great. They're really personalized. So, you know, when you're trying to look for something on the high street and your nana's called Nina or something, you can never find that on a keyring in a shop. So, you know, but I can stamp that because, you know, I've got all the fonts. So as long as it's got English characters, I can create it for you. So, you know, a lot of the stuff I do is personalized, you know, and it's great for Father's Day because it's metal and it's tactile and, you know, us girls never know what to buy our fellas. My husband has more keyrings than he knows what to do with, but you know, it's,
well, especially if he's married to or a keyring maker.
I think it's the same with all us creatives. Our husbands have all got, our partners have all got hundreds of, they're like, please don't make me another one. But no, it's great, and you can do it for anniversaries. So different metals, obviously, with the wedding anniversaries, you've got different metals that apply to different times. So 7th wedding anniversary is copper, so I can stamp on copper, in bronze and brass, and you know, things like that. So it's just good fun, and it creates a memento, you know, and something different from, you know, your high street stuff. So
you started this business how many years ago now?
2015 officially. So I started stamping in 2014 and launched officially on the 1st of April 2015, because I like a financial year.
Excellent. So you've been going 5 years. That's amazing. Do you know how many businesses fail after the first year?
Well, I you know, I quit twice.
Like, have
properly,
you?
Yeah,
okay, let's properly. Dig into that. So what happened the first time?
Well, the first time was the backlash from the other stampers. So,
okay,
well,
so one, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was one particular person, and I made a comment in a group because, you know, obviously with all crafts, there's these Facebook groups of people who do the same thing. So
I'm, quite I'm, a tight-knit community.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. And there's a hierarchy. You know,
of course,
you know, there's always that. And I made a comment about something, which was in relation to Pinterest, which was virtually, you know, I'd never heard of it when I started, and I just said, oh, well, is the stuff on Pinterest free in the free domain? And oh my god, I was launched upon by a particular individual, and it was just a tirade of, you know, no, that's people's stuff, you don't touch it, that's copyright. And I'm like, whoa.
So how far into your business were you at this point?
Probably about 6 months or so, I reckon.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so might not have even quite been that much, actually. Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it's interesting because she sort of rears her head every. I've got her blocked on Facebook. I blocked her from that moment on, but she totally shook me, and I just backed off and went, "Whoa!"
What was it about the attack that kind of shook you? Then was it that she was threatening, or you thought your business might be at risk, or was it more kind of personal?
Yeah, personal, definitely, but and also my business. It was like, well, you know, if this is what she's doing to somebody who's just starting up, you know, does she do it to other people?
Right.
You know, and, you know, now I know she does.
Okay.
You know, well, so I
and what did you learn from it, like, at that time then? Because clearly you didn't know enough about copyright, or it was a flippant comment or something like that, right?
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah. And I did some research, and I learned a bit more. I realized that being in a group of people that do the same thing as you isn't actually a great forum to be sharing stuff.
Right.
You can be you, and you can say hi, and you can, you know, talk about what you're doing and stuff, but you just got to hold that a little bit back and just, you know, keep some stuff under the radar. You know, your business is your thing, and you're being creative. So as a stamper, I don't follow any other stampers on the internet.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, they're friends with mine in terms of a group that we're in, but I don't know what pages they are. So, you know, if a stamper's page was to pop up, I couldn't associate a person with it. So, you know, and I actively unfollow those pages.
And what point did you think, 6 months into your business then, after that, you know, this happened in this group, that you were going to throw the towel in?
I just thought, well, I don't want to be in this world. I was in sales. I did sales. My background was sales for 11 years and it was competitive. And I got out of it because I didn't like that environment. I didn't like that. So I didn't want to be then stepping into something that was basically the same, but in fact, even more on a personal level, because, you know, my last job, I was just selling patch leads.
Right.
So this was like, this is my stuff. I'm making this stuff, you know.
And clearly in a highly competitive, you know, discussions going on in a highly competitive group and
well, it was just one. Okay. The thing. It was just like there was one matriarch and you either was on her side or you weren't. And if you weren't, you were known, you know, you were made to be known. So, you know.
So what stopped you quitting? Why are you still here?
Because I think I just drew a line and I just went, you know what, I don't need to have your you know, your stamp of approval on my business, you know. Actually,
right on.
I'm doing, yeah, I just, you know, I like doing what I'm doing. I like doing this and I like earning money. I like, you know, I had a new baby, you know, I mean, he was coming up to sort of 18 months at that point, you know, and the money I was earning was paying for his classes and paying for the groups that I was going with. So, you know, if I just quit this, you know, could I afford to do those things?
Right. Other people's opinions don't pay your electricity bill, do they?
No. And actually, you know, who is she? You know, I didn't even know who she was. I didn't even know what her page was. I didn't know what her background was. So who was she to say to me that I was doing something wrong when I didn't know the basics? I mean, it did prompt me to go and investigate and learn more about business and copyright and, you know, what these different platforms are and stuff. So, you know, I did take a little step back and think, right, I need to approach this in the right way.
Yeah. So, however, and I've just seen this happen again and again over the years, whether it was forums and then forums moved to, mm-hmm. you know, groups as mm-hmm. they are now, like Facebook groups as they are now. But especially in the tech world, I can say if you ever show that you don't know enough about, you know, a particular piece of coding or tech or whatever, you get shot down. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to set up the business that I do, because I wanted to create spaces where anyone could ask stupid questions, even though they're not stupid, but just ask any questions and get
Thing. I mean, anytime I've done any education, I mean, I've got an HND and an HNC in business, and you know, I am that person who sits at the back in class and goes, hey, I've got a really stupid question and I'm going to ask you, because, you know, there might be three other people in this room that want to ask
but they would never ask.
Exactly. And I'm a question asker. And I I mean, that was the thing. I walked in the group, I asked a question and I was shot down. And I'm like, no, actually, that's not how you talk to people. So
isn't that amazing? Like some businesses would go, you know, some people go out of business in their first year because they're not making enough sales or, you know, cash flow isn't there. But, you know, there's probably an unsaid amount who actually are suffering from either imposter syndrome or the worrying about the opinions of others,
and are scared off by bigger businesses,
right?
Okay, because if you know everybody makes something and everybody's made something before the same thing, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here, you know, but we're putting our own spin on it. And the problem is you get somebody who's got, you know, 12,000 Facebook likes or 20,000 Facebook likes, and you look at them and you're like, my God, they must be amazing. You know, so
I'm governed by vanity metrics.
Yeah. And I should respect their opinion because they've got more followers than me. But, you know, it's taken a while for me to realize that that's absolutely rubbish. I was going to say
an enlightenment, if you will. So tell us about the second time you almost decided to shut it all down. When was that? Give us a year.
That was 2000 and where are we? 15, 16. That was about 17, 18. So, that was a relationship breakdown. So I split out with my husband, who I'm actually now back with. That's a whole nother story for another time. And I had to move back in with my parents. So it was a big uproar and, big upheaval of my life and everything. And living with my parents, stamping there, you know, my parents were always on my back. And, you know, it was a good time. And I wasn't in a good headspace. So it's very
life priorities.
Yeah. It's not easy to be creative when your head isn't in the right space. You have to, you know, have to be in that space. So, you know, it was just a period and I just needed to take a step back from it. I just needed to take that pressure off of myself. And because this is my side hustle and I had another job, I couldn't, you know, that wasn't an issue. So, you know, and actually when I came back, it was, you know, it was really nice. I'd got back with my husband and everything was great and it was brilliant. And now I feel that, you know, it's almost like I reinvented myself at that point. So it's, you know, I feel a lot more confident about my business, about my ability as well. So
when you When you put the business on the shelf temporarily, or did you think, well, I'm not coming back, or did you think, oh, I could come back?
No, I always thought it would be temporary, actually. I didn't sell anything. I just packed it away. So it was just because of the circumstances as well that I didn't really have anywhere to start. Stamping is not the quietest of hobbies. So, you know, you've got to have quite understanding locations and stuff. So, you know, it just, you know, being at my parents', it just wasn't feasible. You know, I at the moment I stamp into evening. So, you know, I get home from work or I get home from school and everything, put the kids to bed, and then I start stamping. So, you know, doing that with my parents, you know, they were in bed by 9. So,
right. And stamping, you're in someone else's house and da da da. Yeah. Again, inspirational that you thought, I'm going to come back to it, and you did, and you came back to it, you know, in a better place and knowing that you could give a lot more to it. And you talked about it being your side hustle. So is it still your side hustle?
It is, yeah. Yeah, I made, I work for my local council, and it's a really great job. It's a real, I was talking about this with a friend, it's a proper mum job. So you know, I literally can pick it up and put it down, and I can work from home if I need to. And if I need to suddenly disappear off and pick up the kids, then it's not an issue. So for that, it's really flexible. Also the fact I get pension and, you know, work malarkey. So it's making that leap to full time. I nearly did it last year. I had my second child, and I was on maternity leave, and I was a rocking stand with love. It was just going bananas, and everything was fitting into place, and I was making loads of money. And I really thought, maybe this is the point where I take my business to the next level.
Yeah.
And I do this full time. But Brexit happened, and all that uncertainty, and the, you know, and it just, I'm glad I didn't. I sort of, you know, wish I'd taken that chance maybe, but I wasn't in a position financially to really properly, to, you know, take it forward. So
yeah, I do. Yeah. I do know it well. I mean, I think I'm an example of how not to do it, where I quit my job. And I had 6 weeks of pay to back me up, and off I went. I don't recommend that to anyone. I feel like that is literally standing on the edge of a cliff, in terms of, you know, stopping your full-time job to go and do your side hustle. Having savings and security and being sensible, I think that is a very good transition.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. And I think if I'm ever going to turn this into a full-time position, full-time job, then, you know, I know what I need to set in place to create that. And it's not something that you can just, you know, do overnight. You just need to think about, you know, I want to shop one day, and I want to be able to teach, and I want to be able to have, you know, people stamping with me, you know, and things like that. But that needs a monetary element before I could launch into that. And actually, I don't need to quit my other job to be able to do that, because, you know, I can stamp Thursday, Fridays, and I can get other stampers in to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So actually, it would probably still work quite well having it as a side hustle with having other people employed. So, you know, there are options, you know.
So you're a true slashy then, aren't you? Have you heard that phrase?
I've never heard that before. What's a slashy? I was on my stamper slash civil servant.
Yeah, exactly. It's the new way to describe having either a side hustle, or, you know, you do a couple of things at once. I think I could be considered slashy, because I'm a consultant slash web builder. But I think you're a true slashy, council slashy.
Oh, I've got to tell people that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's what the kids are saying.
Really?
I'm sure.
Does that mean we're down with the kids now?
We are incredibly down.
Yay, kids.
Emma. So, okay, that's really interesting that this is your side hustle, and you're also quite happy with it being your side hustle, because I think there's a lot of pressure on women who have decided to, quite often because of childcare, and that was my kind of main focus for setting up as self-employed, and I'm sure that might have been in the mix for you as well, because it's all about the flexibility around the kids, isn't it? But then there's this weird pressure that comes out of the ether that we take upon ourselves as women with our own businesses to turn them into these things that we had when we were employed, you know, and grow them in this kind of crazy way with teams and bricks and mortar buildings and things like that, when actually you could just have quite a nice, comfortable life with a side hustle, not employ people, pick and choose the clients that you want.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that it's, you know, it's the whole social media thing, isn't it? So, you know, you get these stories on social media where, you know, the lady with the ice cream van suddenly turned into a multi-million pound business overnight.
Her kitchen table.
Yeah. Exactly. And you too can do that. And you're like, no, you can't. You know, so you just need to be, you know, realistic about what you're doing, you know. And you know, I know that I can't really grow my business any more than I am now until my youngest is at school. So, you know, I'm here for 3 years. You
of
know,
course that, yeah. School.
You know, but I'm, you know, the question is thinking about your future. And I think, you know, when you're starting all these things up, you're just like, oh, this is so cool. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And you don't think about planning. And actually, when you start getting to the nitty gritty about what a business is and how you're not a hobbyist anymore. You're a business.
Do you feel that way with your business then? Do you feel it's business, not hobby? And what point did you have that switch in your head where you were like, oh, this is grown up stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So it was after I had my daughter and it was starting. Well, no, probably prior to that, actually, because it's when I decided to actually become strict. So it was when I was like, right, you know, I need family time. I need me time. I need business time. I obviously work. You know, I'm also getting orders left, right and centre from all these different places. And I'm thinking, how do I take myself to the next level and make myself my life easier? So I need a website, or I need some kind of place where I can get people to place orders that are managed and looked after, and I don't need to be writing on scraps of paper everywhere. You know, and then you've got to think about when you're delving into that world, you've got to be thinking about your terms and conditions, your privacy policies, your, you know,
shipping. Shipping, returns.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, how am I going to get this stuff out? You know, what, but you know, am I going to be shipping once a week? You know, I need to streamline everything and I need to make sure that it all pans together. And all of a sudden you're now thinking, this isn't a hobby anymore. This isn't, I'll get an order on Monday. I'll sort of maybe make it on Wednesday and I'll pop it on the post on Friday. This is, I've got orders to do. I've got a stack of orders. I've got to do them in the right order.
People have paid you for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're taking that to the next level. And also with that comes the understanding about your pricing. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is massive in the, you know, in the small business world, where so many people undersell themselves massively. But when you start looking at what a business charges, it's not charging for materials and, you know, a bit of money for your time. You're thinking about how much it costs me to list these products, how much the fees are when I make a payment, you know, when I get a payment through. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, and you've got to record that and you've got to think about doing your tax return. You know, so it just, it all adds up. And all of a sudden you're like, no. And I think that was the leap. I think at that point you either take the leap and it's a business, or you have to step back almost and just be like, no, this is just a hobby and I do it every now and again and I'm not invested.
So, I think a lot of people do set up their own business and then hit a wall when it comes to having to do something that takes them totally out of their comfort zone. Yeah. Quite often I see again and again that selling, the ability to sell, because creators, especially like you, are great at creating, but rubbish at selling. Or anything to do with money in general, or accounts, or you know, the kind of grown-up business things we were just talking about, like tax and
I mean, and one, you know, my advice to anybody who's starting these things up, even if, you know, from day one, is just start writing stuff down. You know, because then, you know, that makes you see whether or not what you're doing is actually any benefit. Even if you're just doing it as a hobby and you're thinking, will I turn this into a business? Write down the numbers. You know, it doesn't have to be any formal thing, but just see what it's doing, you know.
And what thing do you think you didn't know enough about once you kind of had understood, right, I've got a business. Oh, hang on, this is an area I don't know enough about. I've got to skill up.
I was quite lucky because I come from a sales background. So I understood about the fact that I needed to be, you know, covering myself with terms and conditions, privacy policies and things like that. So I think what I didn't know about was, you know, the promotion in the creative world. And I don't really know, actually, I don't really know.
I was good at everything, Vicky. I was amazing at all.
I knew a bit about everything. So I knew that, you know, I mean, I certainly didn't know about I knew about a tax return because my husband was self-employed, so I was aware of that. So I think the thing was I knew a little bit about lots, but not enough that I knew how to put it together.
Okay.
I think that was probably it, how to make it look like a business, you know. So if I'm putting a website together, you know, what goes where and what's attached to what and what's, you know, what's important and what's not important. So yeah, sorry, that was a bit disjointed, but
no, I totally get where you mean. I think if people have decided to set up a business on their own and they've made that kind of quite brave decision, there is something in people who become business owners where they do know a lot about you know, a lot of things. And quite often it's the biggies where they fail on. So like I said before, money or tech or whatever. Yeah. But what I'm interested to find out from you is, did you know enough about this creative community, the creative world, Etsy in particular, because that is its own...
It's its own
weird world, its community, its laws, you know, it's changed so much over the years. I know this really well because my mum is an Etsy person with her sewing business. And she will, when we meet up and talk business, which we do on a regular basis, she'll be like, oh my God, you'll never guess what Etsy have done this time. So I guess you went on to Etsy first when you did your product?
Yeah, right? I thought Etsy was a Chinese company that sold tap when I first...
Interestingly, that's not how they started. They came out of, you know, the Silicon Valley kind of boom.
Yeah, never knew.
They ended up getting bought by a bigger boy.
Yeah, so I genuinely didn't know their structure. They'd never really been on my radar. I mean, obviously Not on the High Street was the key one, and that's where I applied first.
Right.
Turned down.
Because it's very difficult to get with them, or it was.
Yeah, it still is, as I've learned today. Okay. I don't really know why I went onto Etsy. I don't know whether somebody mentioned it or I think...
So it wasn't even on your radar when you were a jumper. That's fascinating.
It's weird. I was always the website. So the first thing I did was build a website, you know, which was what I did on Create, and, you know, got some stuff on there. And then I think I found Etsy at a similar time. And then it was like, oh, actually, what I thought Etsy was, wasn't what it was. Okay. And oh gosh, there's a massive platform. You know, and always, I'm like, oh, they're shops.
I mean, it started with creators originally, and then it was only later on when they wanted to kind of build up that they started inviting wholesalers on there, which is why you might have thought it was filled with tat.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you did a Google search for something, it'd be eBay then Etsy. And so you sort of associate the two to that, you know, and that was my thought process. So it wasn't until I actually looked at it. My bank balance wishes I never had, but, you know, I did look at it. So, you know.
And it's, because of all the things you bought in there.
Yes, yeah. I've spent a lot of money on it. But I've, you know, bought gorgeous stuff. So, yes. I met amazing people. So,
you know. So how long were you on Etsy for? Are you still on Etsy now?
Yep, still on Etsy now. So, I've been on Etsy since day one, but probably didn't really properly use it or properly understand it until I came back to the business again after the second time I sort of stopped. So... And then I learned about it. So, and Etsy Spring's got some of me handbooks. You know, I joined Etsy Group and got to understand you know, and realized that it is a labor of love. You know, but I got loads of, and what it really did was open up a whole new audience to me. You know, on Facebook, it's quite personal, but you get your first order on somewhere like Etsy and you're like, oh my God, it's a proper stranger has bought. My stuff. This is like, you know, and they're from America. Yeah. You know, or I'm posting something to Australia, you know, Sweden. It's just amazing, you know, so much fun. And that was just the bug, you know, when you get that bug.
When you see that first sale come in.
Well, and when it's international as well, that's like, you know, oh my God, this is the world. This isn't just, you know, my little corner of the internet in, you know, sleepy Hampshire. I'm selling this stuff to Australia and America and Sweden and Singapore and Tokyo, and, you know, it's madness. But you either sort of run away from it and get scared. I know a lot of sellers who get scared about sending internationally and they won't do it. But yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, I've got a map and I pin them, you know.
Have you? I love that.
Yeah.
I love international customers as well. You've got to have the right insurance in place and you know, be aware of postage and stuff like that. But I think it definitely makes you feel next level. So where are you going with the business? Because you kind of touched on a couple of things before, and I'm really interested to know. I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
So if anyone listening has got an Etsy store but no website, would you recommend that they set up their own website and kind of come away from Etsy, or is Etsy good enough to stay on, do you think?
No, I think it used to be. Etsy used to be brilliant, used to be great, but there are so many people. I mean, the creative world has just gone bananas, handmade and hobby people, you know, it's just gone crazy. And Etsy is huge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the fees, obviously they put their fees up a couple of years ago, which took a big chunk, you know, so you've got to allow for that. And at the end of the day, but your website, you know, if you can get a website, that's your little corner of the world. And that's your, you know, you can really hone it down into telling people what you do. You know, you can put blog posts about what you do, and you can, you know, post tutorials to take your business to another level. I mean, I follow Paper Panda on Facebook, for instance, and the way that she took her paper cutting business to the next level was then doing, you know, starter kits, and, you know, she would run courses and things like that. And that's like next level stuff. And that's where your website is going to be the most fruitful place, because it's, you know, you're telling your story. Etsy's your little window, but you're competing with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of businesses. You know, and you're only as good as the last photo you took. So, you know, at least with your website, you know, you can have that story. You know, I've got a picture on my website of the first ever thing I made, and it looks awful, but it's still on my handbag, you know, and I still keep it.
That's your story. People can see your story. I love that.
Yeah.
And you are clearly preaching to the choir with our listeners, because they are busy website owners. But I'm hoping that might inspire anyone thinking, I might make the transition from Etsy.
Yeah, to and there's some great platforms. I mean, you've got Create, you've got Shopify, you know, they're great, and they talk you through it all. It's really, you know, WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. You know, it's not difficult to set up web pages these days. So, you know, there's great, you know, resources. I mean, even if you do want to go down the route of coding and WordPress and things like that, which is kind of scary, but there is so much on the internet that, you know, things that can help you, and groups that can help you, and people that can help you. You know, don't be afraid to get somebody to help you. You know, if it's not your forte, ask somebody else to give you a hand. That's what they do. You know,
That's exactly what I can help out with as well. Yeah, that's the thing I do. So you built your own website, right?
Yeah, I did. I started on Create, then I moved to Shopify, and then last year I moved on to WordPress. So yeah.
Excellent. Welcome to the WordPress world.
I love it.
Good to have you.
Yeah, I love it.
So you mentioned earlier about some of the visionary things that you've got planned for Stamp With Love. What's next? What's your 5-year plan or 10-year plan? What's your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal?
I want a shop. Bricks and mortar shop. I want to be on a sleepy little high street. Not sleepy, obviously, very busy. But, you know, I live in, you know, in an area that's got some lovely, beautiful high streets. I want to have a shop, and I want to be able to stamp in there. I want to be able to run classes in there. But mostly, I want to have a space for other creatives. I want to have shelf space. And I want to do it at a price that's reasonable. And I want to be able to have a place where people can come and work as well. You know, so if they want to just get away from home, you know, and come and, you know, bring their sewing machine down, or bring some sewing with them, or crochet or something, and just sit and just have a space where they can chat about stuff and learn about how to take their business to the next level, you know, in a really warm and friendly environment where they can also sell their product, you know, and speak to people and, you know, and that sort of thing, which sounds really pie in the sky, but, you know, it's...
Well, bring the online community thing to real life, right? Yeah. How long have you had this vision?
Probably for the last 6 months. In fact, there's a shop in my local town that's up for rent, and it's a beautiful old, like, double-fronted, two windows, and then the door in the middle.
You've pictured yourself inside it.
I totally can. It's just... I'm going to be so sad when somebody puts, you know, when somebody goes, unfortunately, I live in Hampshire, it's so expensive down here. So,
okay.
It's crazy. But
have you heard of Denise Duffield Thomas, the rich, lucky bitch lady? she's all about manifestation, right? But it's very accessible woo woo. And she went to see an apple orchard that had like a holiday home on it, just to see. She ended up putting an offer on it, even though her and her husband were building their own home, like, because she kind of thought, unless you put the offer in, you don't know if you'll be able to have it make it like a reality or whatever. But good luck to you, whatever you decide with
Thank
that
you.
So I'm going to wrap up now. God, that was such a good chat. Can you let everyone know where they can find you on the Tinternet, please?
On Tinterweb, yeah. I am at all the W's, stampedwithlove.uk. And then I'm on Facebook, stampedwithloveuk, Pinterest, and Etsy as well.
And taking over, what platform in particular at the moment? Where can people kind of see you the most?
At Facebook. I'm old school.
Excellent.
I don't get the newbie stuff. My Facebook's where it's at. I chat to everybody there.
It's so. My platform of choice. Sorry, kids. I'm happy you're gone. I'm staying on Facebook, and that's where I am. So.
Yeah, us oldies at the back. We'll sit with Facebook. You TikTok lovers can be at the front there. You know.
Tote's fine. Tote's fine. We'll have Facebook. Thanks, kids. Leave it with us. We'll look after it. Thanks again so much for chatting today. And I feel like we've covered an awful lot there, but there's probably so much we can chat about. But I'd love to talk to you again once you've got your store set up, wherever it is in the world. Yeah, good luck with that, lovely. All right, thanks so much, Emma. And guys, if you want to find out more about Emma, then head to stampedwithlove.co.uk. There we go. All right, thanks, Emma. Bye. Hello, I'm back. Did you enjoy that? I really, really enjoyed talking to Emma so much. Like I said right at the beginning when I introduced this week's podcast, is we recorded this quite a while ago, 6-7 months ago, and so much has changed for Emma since then. She's actually quit her job and decided to take on Stamped With Love full time, which is just terribly exciting. And she's doing it out of her HQ, her new fancy shed in her back garden. It's more than that, I tease. It's an amazing studio where she can create her stamped gifts. But interestingly, since we chatted, her relationship with Etsy went a little bit sour. Last month, in fact, Emma had her Etsy store removed without any explanation, and she was told by Etsy she wouldn't be able to have it reinstated. And we just couldn't understand why. I mean, the conclusion we came to was that someone must have reported her site, because apparently she'd been up for multiple violations. But hopefully you could tell this from the interview. And I know her. She's bordering on head girl with how by the book she runs things. But Etsy had refused to let her have her store back, and there wasn't any further chance for appeal. And she was devastated, absolutely devastated, because apart from it being a revenue stream, you know, she'd just done everything right, you know, by the book properly. And it just goes to show that as a small business owner, you cannot rely on a third party platform to run your business. You know, your website, if you have a website, belongs to you. Doesn't belong to Etsy or Facebook or LinkedIn or eBay or Amazon. You know, they can't just take your website offline. If it does go offline, you can get your host to put it back online for you. You don't have to appeal or worry about anyone deleting your account. It's your land and you are the lady or the lord. But thankfully, Etsy, without warning, decided to reinstate her store this week, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer person. It just means that she can put that to bed, put that to rest, have an extra revenue stream, and just get her head down with creating amazing products in her range in time for Christmas. So again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to bring you more real life business owner interviews. And I will see you next week.